Amen. Well, hello, everybody. Good evening. Lord bless everybody here. Brother Hernandez, Manuel, for those who know. And I'm basically just fruit of this church, so if you guys are curious. He actually taught me, so if this comes out horrible, I blame it on him. Amen. All right. And I was telling some brethren here that I actually had two messages prepared just in case, because I know how Pastor likes to take breaks. Yeah. He likes getting preached at. Amen. We all know he goes everywhere he can during the week. All right. But I got some confirmation from Brother Mike and also Sister Carol, because he wanted to hear some a little bit of pep. And Sister Carol mentioned that somebody might be listening who might actually need the gospel. So we'll go with a little more preaching this evening. So let's go to John 4, please. John chapter 4. Forgive me that I'm not in full Baptist attire, but you know, it is what it is. John chapter 4. In verse 23, we know the Lord Jesus Christ, he was talking to the Samaritan woman, a woman who is part Jew and part Gentile, so you can view her spiritually as talking to the entire human race, amen. And the Lord was talking to her, and he said quite clearly, I better read this in English, I got this bilingual Bible, but the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. Notice that this is what God is seeking. If you were ever curious about what God was looking for in a person, here Jesus Christ, the Messiah himself, the King of Israel, is telling you, God the Father wants true worshipers that seek him in spirit and in truth. And he continues, God is a spirit, okay? And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this evening, Lord, and thank you for this chance for us to come together, to learn more about you and your word. And Father, I just ask that you fill us with the Holy Ghost and be able to illuminate us with regards to the must found in the scriptures. And Lord, I especially ask that you take me out of the way and use me as an instrument for your glory, Lord, as you try to bring conviction to the brethren here, those listening online, and also to me, Lord, about these musts in scripture, because frankly, we don't do them all. And Lord, we give you thanks and praise for all things, especially that salvation was wrought through your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. And as you saw this evening, we're going to talk about the must in Scripture. And the reality is that true worshipers, like Jesus said, are going to follow these musts. Okay? One thing that's different about true Christianity or biblical Christianity is that we understand that God actually wants to tell us what he wants to do. He gave us this information. Okay? And these key items are found in these musts in the Scriptures. Okay? And notice that Jesus Christ said here, if you want to worship God the Father, you must worship him in spirit, lowercase s there, it's curious, and in truth. Okay. And so, what I'd like to do is be like the Lord and take the last phrase first. So let's discuss in truth and consider these musts. Now, why must you worship God the Father in truth? Well, Jesus Christ, when he was praying to the Father, he said in John 17, verse 17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. You need the truth in order to be able to know what God wants you to do. Okay, does that make sense? Okay. For by faith cometh by hearing, just like Brother Mike was praying earlier, and hearing by that same word of God which was given to you in truth. Okay. So if you don't have the word, if this isn't your basis, you have no chance of being a true worshiper of God the Father. This is where it begins. Okay. And I'll give some credit to churchianity today. At least they seem to at least lift up this book a little bit and say that, yes, we got something from the Bible. That's a start, okay? But that's all it really is. Go to Hebrews 11, okay? Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11. I give them credit, okay? They might be like the Samaritan woman. They're wandering along, taking what they learned through their culture and their history. And then God manifest in the flesh came to him and told him, look, you got to worship me in spirit and in truth. This is what you must do. Hebrews 11 and verse 6, the Bible says, notice this, but without faith it is impossible to please him. Okay. Now, we all know that verse. We talk about the importance of faith. But notice why, colon, so Paul's going to explain it. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now, this seems pretty simple, but let me tell you, it's not that easy. Because I lip serviced the name of God and talked about how I cared about God all my lost life. But God was about as far from me as Joe Biden was, and I want to keep that guy pretty far away, amen? Okay? That's how I felt about God, okay? He was not an individual, a person that I was seeking to talk and deal with face to face. I didn't really believe that he was, and that's why I didn't go to him for prayer. I was running to Mr. So-and-so in a robe because I was Roman Catholic. Okay? You see the difference? You must believe that he is, and that's why you're going to go to him and talk to him about these things, and that's the key to truth. Because that faith only results from the seed, which is the word of God. That's why you got to hear it. See? So you see, now we just threw churchianity in the garbage because it's gone. Most of them do not really want to talk to God. You ever deal with somebody who was like caught up, a devout JW, for example, and you talk about your personal relationship with God, they look at you like you're nuts. They think you got some imaginary friend like you had when you was a kid. Okay. Now, one thing I'll admit that I've learned here from Pastor Mike is that right there, when you were a little kid, you probably were dealing with God a little bit at that time. You just didn't really know his name. Okay? But when you get saved, you figure that out. And now you call him Jesus Christ, right? Okay. But you see the importance, getting back to this, that you must worship God in truth. And so God, talking to the prophet Moses, said in Exodus chapter 18, verse 20. God himself is talking to Moses, and he says, "And thou shalt teach them ordinances and laws, and shalt show them the way wherein they must walk, and the work that they must do." And you see, when God talks to the prophet, talks to one of his children, just like he's having me talk to you this evening, it's my job to show you the way and show you how you must walk and how you must work for God. Notice, it's a must. There is no other option. It's not how you feel. Like the brother was praying earlier tonight. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Why? Because it's a way. It's not the way. You must walk. You must work in accordance with God's commands, which you find in the truth. Okay. And so for that, that individual who Carol was talking to, if you're curious, well, let's see what the Word of God tells you. How are you supposed to find God? How are you supposed to get to him? Okay. Go to Isaiah 28. Isaiah 28. So we need God's commands, and we must walk and work in accordance with those. Isaiah 28 and verse 9, we'll go there first. Verse 9, the Bible says, "Whom shall he," that's the Lord, "teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine?" Because I'm sure if you're trying to worship God in spirit and in truth, you want to know what he wants you to know. You want to understand how he wants you to do things, right? Okay. And interesting, you find it's for them that are weaned from the milk, verse 9, and draw from the breast. For notice, for precept must be upon precept. Precept upon precept, implied. Line must be upon line, line upon line. Here a little and there a little. And this is what the Lord taught me this morning. Okay? Now, I was blessed to follow the word of God and his will, and that's what got me to a Bible-believing church like this one when I was young in the faith. And I learned how to rightly divide the scriptures and follow this as far as discerning the scriptures and all these things. But I never noticed that that's how you must do it. Isn't that interesting? Now think about that. How many churches actually study the Bible like Grace and Truth does? Yeah, not many. You ain't kidding, man. Whew. Okay, it's a lot smaller than the percentage of vaccine deaths, I'll tell you that much. Okay. I mean, glory to God that some of us are doing it, okay, but it ain't that many. And what you find is that there are heresies among us, like it says in 1 Corinthians 11, for those who are curious, verse 19. But they're there so that those that may be approved are made manifest, and those that are approved have recognized the need to follow precept upon precept. Okay, they read a verse that talks about salvation and can go to another to show that, yes, that's correct. Very simple, showing those basic precepts. And that's how, if you're somebody who's trying to find truth, how you can find it, because you hear it repeated over and over and over again. That's why it's precept upon precept first. You need the basics, okay? And you'll learn your ABCs before you learn words, that type of thing, okay? The same is true with God's truth. And if you must walk and work in accordance with God's truth, you need to learn those basic doctrines, okay? You need to drink that milk, so to speak, okay? Now, recognizing that, go to 1 Chronicles 22. So we see this. And we say, okay, yes, God, I want to worship your Father in truth. I want to be able to do this. I see you want me to walk in a specific way. I see you want me to work in a specific way. You gave me your word. You told me to compare scripture with scripture, precept upon precept, line upon line. I get these things. I see its importance. Well, in 1 Chronicles 22 and verse 5, we have a king, okay, King David speaking to one of his sons here, that's Solomon. And notice what he says here. Because this might be why you want to live for God. You're trying to find God. You're trying to do better in your life. You're trying to get things down. You seem to recognize that, yes, I must do these things the right way. That's what Jesus said. I got to figure it out. Well, King David says, and David said, verse 5, Solomon, my son, is young and tender. And the house that is to be builded for the Lord must be exceeding magnificent. Notice that. The house that you need to build for God apparently must be exceeding magnificent. Okay? I bet Solomon listened to this. He's like, how am I going to do that? Dad, you're asking me for a lot. Exceeding magnificent. Look what everything you've done. It's got to exceed you. That's probably what he was thinking. Okay? Well, keep that in mind. Continue. Of fame and glory throughout all countries. Whew. But notice, I will therefore now make preparation for it. And King David says that he's going to make preparation in order to help you build that specific house that's supposed to be exceeding magnificent. And guess what? There's a greater David out there who's going to do the same. We'll get to him in a minute. Because one thing you need to recognize is that if you are going to be a true worshiper of God and you must worship him in truth, you need to recognize the truth that you can't do it by yourself. You probably need somebody's help, specifically a king. Okay? Now keep that in mind, okay? And that brings us to our first phrase, which is you must worship him in spirit. Why? Because the spirit beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. How do you know you're saved? The same way I know I was alive when I wasn't. I just knew, okay? I'm not no nihilist who thinks that I don't exist even though I'm talking to you, okay? I'm not a new Hindu who thinks that it's an illusion because I'll grab a pin and go like this and prick you and say, that hurt, okay? You're here, okay? You're here, buddy. No. The same way when you're born again. If you're truly saved, nobody's going to ever take that away from you. You know it right here. Okay? But the reason why that happened is because in Romans 1 verse 9 it says, or Paul says, for God is my witness whom I serve with my spirit, with a lowercase s. See? The reason why God saved you is that now you can serve him in that spirit. That is, that's the key to becoming a true worshiper. Okay? So then the question becomes, God, how do I walk in that spirit? How do I make that happen? How can I be in the spirit? Well, Jesus said, marvel not, I say unto thee, ye must be born again. Didn't he? How many times do I say that in the street corner? And people look at me like, but really? Why do you keep saying that? Exactly. Why can't I do it this way? This is pretty nice. You know, I go over there, I get my tithes over there at the church or whatever. No. This is the only way. Amen. This is how it must be. Okay? In truth, Jesus told you, you must be born again to see you're under the kingdom of God. To have a vision of heaven, to recognize these things. Okay? But if you need a why, let's look at another precept. Mark 2. Mark chapter 2. Let me help you. If you need a why, because we're all like Adam, we all want whys instead of recognizing what we did. Okay? Which is what we sinned. Okay? Mark 2. In case you're curious, you know, the Lord asked Adam, even, what hast thou done? He didn't ask why you did it. He wasn't even concerned with that. He was, what are you doing? Okay? And we're too busy trying to blame and find other reasons. No, own up to what you did. Okay? Mark 2, I'm a sinner. I know I deserve to go to hell. But because of what we're going to talk about, I won't. Mark 2 and verse 22, we have the Messiah speaking. And he says, and no man putteth new wine into old bottles. So he's trying to give you a parable, something you might understand from your lost life if you were a drinker, okay? You don't put new wine in old bottles. You don't do that, okay? Else the new wine doth burst the bottles, and the wine is spilled, and the bottles will be marred. You don't want to waste that, okay? But new wine must be put into new bottles. Why do you need to be born of the Spirit? Why do you need to be born again? Why do you need to receive the new birth? Because you need a new bottle, okay? God's going to put something new and special into you that he has to prepare you for, you see? And that's why the key to getting in the Spirit to become a true worshiper is to receive that specific new birth that Jesus mentioned. And so just like how David prepared that exceeding magnificent temple for Solomon, the greater David, he's here. And he prepared something for you to set up that new bow. Okay? Go to Luke 2. Luke chapter 2. Let's look at the greater David's mindset here. Notice all the musts in Scripture. This is not a joke. This is not a game. This is life. Okay? And we're talking about eternal life here. This is how it must be. Look at who's talking. We've been citing the Messiah this whole time. Luke 2. Luke 2 and verse 49 now. And he, that's Jesus, said unto them, which was Mary and Joseph, okay? How is it that ye sought me? Wish ye not that I must be about my Father's business? Okay? And this was the view of Jesus Christ for his mission to save you, to prepare an exceeding magnificent temple for every single person here, even though he lived about 2,000 years ago. Okay? He was thinking about all of us at this moment when he received, when he was put under the law, bar mitzvah, as they call it, or whatever. Okay? And you see, he saw that importance so much so he went and was about his Father's business, and his parents were acting like he did something wrong. He's like, no. Okay? I must do this. Okay? Because he was thinking about the love he had for each and every one of us. Okay? This is the God of Israel. That's what I'm trying to tell you. Okay? All the other gods that exist try to get you to do something. They may help you out. They may not. It depends how they feel in the morning. Okay? Not the God of the Bible. Okay? The God of Israel is willing to give of himself. He's willing to go out. And he understands that he must do that. Okay? For one reason is because it's the business of his Father. It's the mission God the Father gave him to prepare a temple for you. And that culminates in Matthew 16. Matthew 16. Matthew 16 and verse 21. Here we have Jesus Christ giving truth to his disciples. So he wants them to become true worshipers of his Father. And he says, Matthew 16 verse 21. From that time forth began Jesus to show his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. What's that about? Is that the gospel? Is that the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ right there? But notice, he said that's what he must do. Okay? So he knew all the way back in Luke 2 that the reason why he started his Father's business was that it would culminate into the reality of him dying for our sins according to the Scriptures, because he didn't sin himself. And that he would be buried for 3 days. But then he would rise the third day according to the Scriptures, including what he said right here, proving that he was God manifest in the flesh and not just the Messiah. He was unique and special. Okay? For those who are familiar with Jewish doctrine, they had many messiahs. They had many anointed ones. David was one. No, this Messiah is different. This suffering servant is different. And even their Sanhedrin, if they look back at those older commentaries, recognizes these realities. Okay? And Jesus, he knew it. He knew this would happen. He prophesied about it before it even happened. That's exactly what occurred. All of a sudden, the Pharisees were the one who dragged him to Pilate so he would die a special death on the cross, be nailed on a tree to receive that curse, because cursed is one that hangeth on the tree, even though he never sinned. And then he willfully died for you and you and you and me. Okay? But then he rose again, like I said. There it is, on the third day, according to the Scriptures. And you want to know why I follow the Savior? This is why, right here. Okay? He actually did historically raise from the dead. Another thing I say in the street. The beauty of true Christianity is it's the only religion that's truly falsifiable. Go find the body of Jesus, and then I'll stop believing. Good luck, though. Okay? He's in the third heaven with the right hand of the majesty on high. He ascended. There's a reason why nobody's been able to do it for over 2,000 years. Okay? And he knew that he must go and must die and pay that penalty for our sins so that we would have an exceeding magnificent temple prepared for each and every one of us if we were willing to receive his preparation. Okay? It's receiving that truth that you can't prepare it yourself that leads you to receiving his preparation in order to build off of his foundation. Because there's no other foundation that can be laid than that which is Jesus Christ, the Bible says. See? So consider that. We want to be exceeding magnificent. What do you got to do? Well, first you got to preach. Go to Mark 13. Mark 13. You might say, well, Manny, I'm a born-again Christian. I'm born, blood-bought, praise the Lord, Bible-believing, King James preaching, blah, blah, blah. Amen. Amen. Are you preaching then? Okay, Mark 13. Because I hear that, and then I don't hear them knocking on a door or preaching. I wonder. Okay, Mark 13. Let me give you some motivation here this evening. Mark 13 and verse 10. And Jesus said, and the gospel must first be published among all nations. Are you part of that? See that? It must be published. God himself has a goal to make sure that his gospel is spread throughout every single community, ethnicity group. I don't care if you're black, white, green, yellow. Yes, black lives matter, but so do white, yellow, green ones, and also Puerto Rican ones sometimes. Okay? Praise God. And that's because Jesus said the gospel must first be published among all nations. Are you part of that work? Okay. Because guess what? There's no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. That's at the name of Jesus. Okay. Name of Jesus. Yeshua. Okay. You don't have to stick with whatever some of these other weird groups say. It has to be said in Yahoshua. It's not even a real word. Okay. No, I think God knows how to speak English and Spanish and every other language. Okay. It's at the name of Jesus. Yeah. And if you received that preparation that the greater David gave, which was his work at Calvary to save you from your sins, you're going to recognize immediately there's more people need to know about this. And you're going to be part of that work, preaching that name and being part of the him publishing his gospel among the nations in your specific area. Okay, here in Greater Buffalo, okay, me right now in Noblesville, wherever you are, it really doesn't matter. Okay, you're going to do it because it must be done. See? That's true Christianity. God gives you commands and you say, oh, I'm going to go do it. Okay. Continuing on. How do you present that then? Okay. Go to Proverbs 18. Because, yeah, I like talking about the street because, you know, Pastor Mike and many other of the street preachers in this congregation have raised me up to preach in the street. Okay. So I like doing that. But that's not the only way to do it. Okay. Proverbs 18. The key ways usually tie with you living out your life and interacting with others. And in Proverbs 18 and verse 24, the Bible says, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. And that's your first job there, Christian. You've been born again. You must recognize the importance of going out to your friends and your colleagues, family members that are close, and show yourself friendly to them. Because once you start mentioning Jesus, they're gonna kind of pull back a little bit. They're going to think something weird happened with you. This is just a phase in your life and all this other good stuff. I've heard it all, okay? Sure. But it isn't. And you want to make sure they recognize that, yes, this is a real thing that happened to you. And more importantly, you still want to be right there to help them out. And as you continue to show yourself friendly to them, you'll realize, like it says in Numbers 23 and verse 12. Let's just go there as I can't cite it. Okay, Numbers 23 and verse 12. Now, interestingly, this was spoken by a lost man. And if God can do this in a lost man, you better believe he can do it through you. Numbers 23 and verse 12, we got some wicked prophet named Balaam saying, and he answered and said to Balak, okay, that's the wicked king, must I not take heed to speak that which the Lord hath put in my mouth? Even he couldn't resist speaking the words of God. Okay, and you can read about that on your own. It's good. Good preaching there, okay? Too bad he didn't even listen to what he was saying. Now you know why I pray that I receive what I'm hearing, because sometimes you end up saying something that's really from God, okay? And it's targeted to me. See that? So I got to keep myself in mind as well. Balaam did not, okay? But he had to speak those words. And what's going to happen is the Spirit of the Lord is going to fill your mouth with his precious words that have given and grown faith in your life so they can come out and emanate to those that you're being friendly towards. See that? And that includes the gospel of Christ, does it not? Okay. And also, 2 Timothy 2. 2 Timothy 2, and unfortunately, you're at a Bible-believing church, and many of you deal with lower middle-class people who think they're really smart. They got all these PhDs and everything else and all this. You're probably going to be doing a little more to 2 Timothy 2. I understand. I deal with scientists all the time. Okay. Kind of annoying. They think they know a lot, but they don't really know much at all. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 24. The Lord is growing you. He's building you. He's trying to make you more exceeding magnificent day by day as you continue to follow him and grow in those words of truth. And then he gets to a point where you become, verse 24, and the servant of the Lord. That's how you view yourself. And that's how others see you, more importantly. Must not strive. So you learn to be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. So somebody comes in the street and starts to call you all kinds of names and all this, and you just finished preaching out, your voice is echoing out, and then they come and talk to you, and then you transition instantly to a soft, gentle voice. How do you do that? That's the Spirit of God. God taught you how to do that, to ignore all the nonsense that was coming out of their mouth and deal with them at their level. Okay? In meekness, which means you don't defend yourself. You allow God to get vengeance through his word as that's preached and it pricks their heart. See? Because they're opposing themselves. They don't realize that their greatest enemy is the one that was in the mirror, and you figured that out years back. That's why you got saved. Okay? Continuing on. If God prevent you, will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. Notice, you got to get the truth first, the truth of the gospel, to be able to worship in spirit. They need to recognize that and repent. And God may wake them up in part through what you say and your demeanor and you allowing the Spirit of God to work through you. Okay? And that they may recover out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive of him at his will. And you better believe the devil's got a snare on many in America today. Okay? The fact that social truth is basically non-existent is ridiculous. Okay? And it's not like it's hard to find. Takes 2 seconds to open up a web page and figure it out. Takes 2 seconds to talk to somebody who's hurt a little bit, and they'll give you the basics, and you'll know more than 90% of Americans. Okay? But this is where we are. And we have to be willing to use our mouths to speak the truth of God in love to others so that they can have the chance to worship God the Father in spirit. You see? Got to give them the gospel. Got to work with them. You got to be able to help them and answer their questions. Okay? Or know where to get the answer. Okay, just like Carol did. Oh, I'll give you Pastor Mike's answer. He knows more. See, that's the idea here. Okay? And then as you continue to go and take that gospel and present it to others in a friendly manner, allowing the God to use your mouth and use you for his glory, you start realizing the reality of the Christian walk and work that you, back in Exodus 18, were trying to figure out. Because there was a time where you were considering God and you were saying, God, how do I really find you? And he started showing you how to really walk and work with him. Now you've become a true worshiper and you're putting it into practice. Okay? Then all of a sudden you kind of think like John the Baptist now. He, that's Jesus, must increase. I must decrease. You see? You recognize you need more of him in your life. You need to manifest him to others because that's exactly what happened to help you see the truth so you can be saved and become a worshiper in spirit. See? That's what happened with the Samaritan woman. She got to see the Lord himself. Okay? The Lord gets to manifest himself through us to others. Okay? And then Acts 14, let's go there. Acts 14, verse 22 becomes a reality in your life. Now you get this. Okay? This all of a sudden isn't just a set of words connected in a verse in Scripture. This became the reality of your life. Okay? Because Jesus is increasing your life. And as he manifests more and more, you're going to deal with problems. You're going to deal with more people coming against you, even though they don't know why or don't understand how. Okay? This is just the reality of the Christian walk. You're going to have tribulation. It says there in verse 22, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must not, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. Now you understand this verse. It's not that you're trying to do work to go to heaven. You've already received the new birth. But you understand that there's tribulation that occurs until you finally move on and leave this tabernacle and you go on to be present with the Lord. See? And while you're walking here, suffering just like Jesus Christ did, participating and partaking in the fellowship of his sufferings just like Paul did in Philippians 3, you're starting to work towards possibly attaining the resurrection that you know you can't do, but you're hoping to build that temple and make something bigger and bigger in yourself. That is Jesus. You're manifesting him, okay? And you're going to get hit, okay? You might find somebody throw a full beer bottle at you when you're preaching, okay? You might get kicked out of a house or somebody sick dogs at you. There's some stories here for that, okay? Or even worse, your family just stopped talking to you even though you try to call them. They'll make sure you don't go to any Christmas parties anymore because you're always bringing Bible stuff. We don't want any of that on Christmas? Yeah. Guess the devil really does have a snare on people, don't he? Okay. This is the reality. Through much tribulation we have to go through. It must happen, but that's okay because we're going to reap fruit in the kingdom of God even into the future. And that comes into our result. Go to 2 Corinthians 5. 2 Corinthians 5. What's the result of walking and working with Jesus Christ, becoming a true worshiper of God the Father in spirit and truth? Well, here it is. 2 Corinthians 5. In verse 10, the Bible says, I heard somebody already say it, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, notice that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. And you know that you must appear for the Lord, and for that reason you continue to work for him, because you understand that your labor is not vain in the Lord. Okay, his word doesn't return void. You living for him, no matter how bad it looks, you're going to reap results here and into the future. Okay? Because the reality is, just like it says in 1 Corinthians 15, that which is corruptible must put on incorruption. That which is mortal must put on immortality. And when you get to this judgment, you're going to have that new glorified body. Okay? That new exceeding magnificent temple that'll never corrupt or fade away. That new special thing to make sure that, yes, if you suffer from physical ailments, we have some who suffer from ones that are more visible than others. I have my own. We could talk about it. We understand that in the future we're going to have a body that has none of that anymore. And then when you think about how David was building that great exceeding magnificent temple, prepping it so his son could build it, all of a sudden you see that Jesus Christ prepared that special temple for you. Okay? And you got to decorate it just like Solomon, add all the pretty stuff based on you living a life for Jesus Christ. And that's all the rewards. Okay, he's got a series on it, so do I. All the good Bible even preachers will tell you about this. Okay? Because they want the best for you. Okay. They want you to know what you must do so you can reap in the future. Okay. And so, go to Acts 16. Acts 16. Because you might be listening and saying, wow, that's all this stuff. That's what happens when you become a true worshiper of God. I just got to worship him in spirit and in truth, and he's going to give me all this. He's going to promise me life eternal, and you'll never die again. You'll be around forever and come back and get to live with him forever and ever with no sin or shame or problems forever. You better believe it, brother. Acts 16. Acts 16. So maybe you're at that point where you're trying to figure out, just like I did on November 25th, 2011. Yeah. And in Acts 16, in verse 30, here you got historically the Philippian jailer coming to Paul and Silas, I believe. Pastor can correct me. Okay. And he says, just like I asked my brother, okay. And they brought him out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Notice that. He recognized in truth that there's only one thing he must do. Okay. He wasn't trying to fight it out. He wasn't trying to justify himself or come up with other ways to plea bargain with God. He recognized, I need to figure out how to get saved. Sirs, what must I do to be saved? And so I tell you, just like Paul told him, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Okay? Have you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you recognized your need for him and his work at Calvary to save you from your sins? Yeah. That's what I figured out years back. Okay. I recognized I couldn't build an exceeding magnificent house. In fact, I recognized that even if I tried to do it, it was in vain. It was a house built not on rock, but on sand, and it would come tumbling down really quickly. Okay. But if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, just like that Samaritan woman did with Jesus, because he told her that, and then he continued to give her more of that truth, and she recognized, wow, thou art the Messiah. Okay. She got saved. And then she went out and preached the gospel to people and brought them to Jesus. That's what you're supposed to do. Okay? So those are the musts in Scripture. Okay? Will you do what God says you must do? Pastor, we'll turn it over to you.
Thank you, my brother. What a blessing. Amen. Amen. Thank you for gracing us with your presence and the word that God has given you. And...
to do that.
And like you said, the Puerto Ricans are important. Jesus is going to visit Puerto Rico just to see his hubcaps one more time. But I'm just kidding. All the musts. Maybe that's why Jesus said you need the faith as the grain of a mustard seed. Because we must. And you know what we need to do? To both come to him and to walk with him, we need to sing a song number 431 in the big book. That's one other thing we need to remember to do.